I would consider it a suspicious person to be at the very least, okay?
Correct.
Everybody remembers, and I hate to bring it up, Bloomsbury Borough, okay? That's still on A&E, and there's, you know, my classmates are all being interviewed on that process because Nick Oriello and Justin Blackwell investigated it, okay? That gentleman was a serial killer that got caught in Connecticut, okay? Who's to say somebody's not the next one? They're allowed to birth in front of my house.
Can I address that? As you're probably aware, there used to be a statute on the books in New Jersey titled Failure to Give a Good Account of Yourself.
Yeah.
What became of that statute? Mm-hmm. It's unconstitutional. Why? Because the police can't go up to someone who's not breaking the law and take enforcement action against them.
Mm-hmm. Now, okay.
So there's no parking regulation that prevents him from staying in front of my house or Mr. Penna's house.
And for the record,
that's what brings up John's point about some sort of parking regulation.
I think we should design one.
Right.
I mean, it would take three signs, one at both streets coming off of Blossom Hill and one at the corner of Muirfield and Glen Eagles.
So now the police no parking just for trucks?
Well, that's the debate.
Yeah.
What's the best way of doing this that's also legal? I'm a simpleton, so I say to myself, no parking of commercial vehicles allowed between the hours of thus and such. That may or may not be legal. One can also issue decals to people that live in the neighborhood, you know, come up
parking
with a
permits.
Yeah, well, parking decal. They do that in Somerville, for instance. And if you got a, you know, local property owners parking from this point to that point, but something
do,
like
do you
that.
Do you realize what this sounds like? The fact of the matter that we're discussing in a rural farming community that we're discussing parking permits because we're appeasing a trucking depot. To operate out of a residential area. We're akinning it to Somerville, a city, Plainfield, a city.
Look, don't go off that way.
Right, but
small lots, houses, the topology is the same. This is not a farming community. You are in a small lot subdivision is what we're talking about. Okay?
And why are they there then?
They're a farmer. You're not. We're trying to keep them out of your neighborhood.
Yes.
Do you want a solution or not?
I love a solution, you know, and I mean, but that's the beginning. The solution, I'll tell you what the solution is. And if somebody could start the videos, Danielle, you want to come up and start the videos, and we'll show you what we're up against here, all year.
If I could just weigh in real quickly, I'm looking at all the work you did. I'm listening to what you said. Obviously, nobody here is going to dispute how important this is and how important it is to us. I really believe, because I was eager to hear what you had to say tonight, that we're all on the same side. Mm-hmm. We are. And perhaps it sounds comical to try to find all of these ways in which to solve this problem, but I think you have to concede. We can't just go up there and throw them out. We can't just go up there and tell them that in violation of the law, that they have to move on or they can't do this anymore.
Okay.
So I just want to be real clear to you. I want to work with you. I want to. I mean, 36 times in the last since April 15th, we've been on Muirfield. What is it? A three or four house cul-de-sac,
yes.
And Glen Eagles, trying to do something to try to pay respect to all the work you've done and the concerns you have. We've had a sign up there, I believe, a message board.
25 mile, yeah, that, and the complaint wasn't speeding, and we know that.
Okay, and I appreciate that, because that takes care of one portion of my show here.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the speeding, although we can all agree that there is occasionally speeders
who
come up and down the road, even the commercial vehicles. So, and again, I'm just trying to genuinely press upon you, let's work on this together,
mm-hmm.
but we can't violate the law. And I know that that's aggravating, and I don't want someone in a tractor trailer sleeping in front of my house.
Right.
Especially if I don't know what the rhyme or reason for it is, but we can't violate the law. We can't do that.
That's only one branch of what one of our complaints is here. You know, as far as the trucks sleeping, okay, that's what really culminated and broke the camel's back as far as the neighborhood goes, because as we all know, you know, there was a attempted theft and burglary. Okay? And it happened to be my residence. My vehicle in my driveway with my troop car 8 feet away at 5:08 in the morning. Okay? Now, if that doesn't put a neighborhood uneasy to begin with, you know, which it does happen, you know, and that's the life I live too, but it makes the neighborhood feel uneasy and unsecure to begin with. And then a short period later to have Nova Scotia show up and sleep overnight. The sense of security in this neighborhood is diminished. And I understand you guys have patrols going through on a regular basis. So do I. We have our patrols going through on a regular basis.
And no one's debating it. Right. No one's debating that I'm not judging in any way, shape, or form how you or your neighbors feel. Mm-hmm. I'm not. That is my job. I want you to feel secure. And I saw the video. And as you're aware, one of our officers was coming down the road,
yes,
unknowingly passing the bad guys, mm-hmm, because he was going to put the sign out or work on the sign. Real quick, and I apologize for interrupting you, what I have here?
Yes, I saw those answers.
You did see them?
Yes, of course.
Well, then none of our tricks are yeah, genuinely coded.
And that was 2 days?
No, it was a week.
Okay, well, we missed it. Well, and I'll tell you what, at 11:33 on Wednesday, was it? How do you know that they completely shut down operations?
What do you mean?
Completely shut it down.
Oh, I follow you. So then
completely shut it.
That is not going to be.
Absolutely not.
Okay.
I will show you my Ring doorbell, which catches every single vehicle that goes up and down that street. And I will show you that at 11:33 on Wednesday, they completely shut down their operations.
And what I want to impress upon you is, again, signs, cops, studies, you know, different mechanisms. Mm-hmm. We tried to do what we can.
Right.
To try to at least, I'm not going to give you false hope, stem the problem, try to maybe control the problem. We had a lady last week, you know, the speeders are passing the school bus where our kids get on to school down at 629 in Deer Run. We've got a gentleman from Country Club Drive in Route 31 who is here every week on the week, tells about it, and he must have a friend down at 618 in Route 31.
Mr.
And then
Hughes.
You have Mr. White down on Red Schoolhouse Road. And again, it's not lip service. It's just to tell you what my goal is. My goal is to try something.
And I will say this. I'll acknowledge the fact, and I've told your officers whenever they show up, and I stop and I thank them, and I tell them that, yeah, we do see them. Although the effect isn't there because, number one,
it's not the speeding.
Right. It's not the speeding. There's no place for them to hide. They're not going to catch them rolling through the stop signs. You know, and things to that fashion. And, you know, I have to say you've made the efforts. You really have. But that's not what our predicament, that's not what our predicament is. Our predicament is the fact that, like I stated in my letter, it's not the speed, it's the size, the frequency, and the dynamics of the roadway.
Mr. Mayor, if I could just one question while I think about it. This is a question that I have for you. What can Hyonas do? What can the owners of that business do to make it just, not to appease you, but to make it just a little bit better, and so that none of these children get hurt, you don't get hurt, because let's face it, a truck that size hits you, you're going to be hurt too.
Yeah.
So what can they do to make it a little bit better? What, like you said something about their gate being locked.
Mm-hmm.
Well, can't they, you know, maybe communicate with their drivers and maybe
it's not their drivers.
No, have them pull in.
It's the long haul truckers.
Yeah.
Those.
It's not their drivers.
Shouldn't their gate be open
they
all night?
They put a number up that said, you know, call this number if you arrive. Call this number, and their gate was a combination lock instead of a key where they could go in. You know, something like that.
Mm-hmm. But it's lip service because the fact of the matter is they don't communicate with those drivers. I've had that discussion with them, and they go, you know, truckers. That's their thing, you know.
Next step after this meeting is that we will have a discussion with them. So that's a good idea about the gate and the lock, you know, if they'll buy into it.
Okay. But now what our main goal is here is obviously for them to move their ingress and egress. You know, it does.
Is that the main issue? Is that it?
Yes.
Is that
absolutely?
Yes.
Okay.
I'll tell you what.
That's clear.
I told them, and this is off the record. I said, I don't care if you grow pot, bury bodies back there, as long as you close that gate. I don't care what you do. So listen, as we all know,
that's not off the record.
Noah Skeffington, the 15-year-old boy that wrote you the letter, he obviously is concerned about the small children in the neighborhood and everything because he's at the bus stop on a daily basis. You know, and I'm thankful to him for, like I said before, saving my son.
How about moving the bus stop?
You can't move the bus stop.
No, wait, whoa.
For them?
This is brainstorming, don't kill them. This is brainstorming.
Move the bus stop 200 feet away from the intersection, if that's where it is.
About 2 years ago, just over 2 years ago, they're represented by Gaetano DiSapio. We went to his French Town office, a few representatives, with... we were trying to have a settlement agreement.
Is it Sal or Michael?
You know, what's that?
DiSapio. Sal or Michael?
Gaetano.
Guy.
Yeah.
Guy.
So we went to his Frenchtown office, tried to sit down and have a settlement discussion for alternative access and exit points. Okay. There's several that we did propose, and you know, for the most part, they were very standoffish about it. You know, there's one at Deer Hill. At the termination of frontage in Deer Hill, where the hard right-hand turn makes. If you look at the map, the tax map and everything like that, it's actually considered part of 78 that runs behind Concord along that fence line. That's a direct access to the back corner of their property. But they said the terrain isn't good enough that they would be able to navigate it or whatever, which I find funny because they took the grade down on their property 40 feet when they actually made the stepping of their property for the land to lay the mums out. So if you wanted to, you could. You could grade that to the point where you could get to the back. There's a 2.2 acre property lot that's owner in Livingston that is arrears in taxes and wouldn't be a problem to access through.
I believe that
then puts the traffic, if you can actually do it, the slope down at Routes, I've walked a lot. Route 78 is very close to that fence, and the slope is quite steep down to the highway. One, two, you know, somebody would have to compel them to purchase that lot, which is no mean feat.
Okay.
But you are then putting traffic in other people's backyards.
Well, considering 78 is seen from there, and literally it's only 10 feet away from... you know, from that fence line, it wouldn't have an impact on them the way it does for us. You have the thousands of times more trucks that are traveling on 78 at 65 to 70 to 80 miles an hour, 10 feet away from that.
100 feet away, 75 feet away, this would put them at their back property line. But all that aside, somebody would have to compel them to purchase that lot.
Okay. And that's not my most feasible offer, okay? The offer that I think is most feasible, and they actually agreed to it at the settlement, about finding the property owner, and at the time it was owned, from what I was told, a billionaire that never even had contact with that property. It's the property that when you go north on Blossom Hill and you go over the bridge platform that overpasses 78, on the right-hand side, there's right now a property that's 25 acres for $2.25 million. Okay? That 25-acre lot runs into the back property of their 55-acre lot that is adjacent to where they're conducting their operation.
Right.
Right. And it's traditionally farmed right now by Klukas Farms. I spoke with the realtor, and she gave me the property specifications and everything like that. Now, what's the feasibility of giving finding Green Acres or getting assistance through the state, getting assistance through the county, gaining money, and everybody jumping into the pool and making it an access point to their property, because there would be no integration into any other residential area? They would simply go over the platform, make a right-hand turn, and follow it right into the woods.
I will tell you, I understand that Spiros was interested in putting up some houses there. And he hadn't looked at the Highlands regulations. So, I'm familiar with that lot. And Highlands would, if I remember correctly, off the record on this, because I can't quite remember the
You're not
Highlands.
Off the record.
I know, I'm just kidding. The,
you're to play Brian's ball.
What I'm trying to remember is if there's wetlands there and Highlands water protection buffers, because I looked at it on the map a couple of times trying to figure out how else could you do this. But it did not look like that lot was going to be worth acquiring for development. Forgive me, I can't quite bring up the picture with the water buffers. But that still puts them on the wrong side of that C1 stream. It does not provide access to the lot that they unwisely, in my opinion, chose to build out. They should have built out the lot, you know, further to the west, the one that has the flag, you know, on the one where you could use the flag for access on the proper side of the stream. So you still have to cross that stream.
Right. And during that settlement meeting, you know, it was agreeable that we would find the property owner and that they would start their application for that crossing. And the reasoning that I requested that was because I know the DEP is slow and it takes a couple of years before they get the acknowledgement and all the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed and they get the ability to go across. I don't know for sure, but I seriously doubt that they made that application. And I'm pretty confident in that allegation. And for that, you know, that would show the initiative on that. Now, with the connections that they clearly have with the state, as far as politically and as far as the agricultural goes, I don't see why an expediting an application for approval to cross that stream would be a hard anything hard to do. You know, if they, I mean, even just put the application in and forward it and expedite it and see what the outcome would be. So that way we could cross that bridge. And if they cross that bridge, we don't have a problem anymore.
Now, what I can't remember, maybe you do, you know, it's been a few years since I've walked their property down by the greenhouses, you know, close to the stream. It's a significant grade change, is it not? It's a pretty significant grade change crossing the stream, and then they sort of built like a Tibetan plateau or something.
You know what the ramp is when they make when they go in the Mirrorfield, make the right hand turn out. Nobody ever measured that fence. Because that gate was supposed to be 40 feet off the property line, and I guarantee you it's not even close. And I asked for 53 feet, and remember the discussion
right,
that we had.
Interrupt the roads.
Right. And so we agreed to the 40 feet, and I guarantee nobody ever took a measurement on that because they pushed it out so they could make the right-hand turn as soon as they enter into the property and make the immediate left-hand turn to go down that ramp. Now, you want to talk about a grade?
That one I've walked more than a few times.
And that it took me 10 minutes to go from my house down to the back of the greenhouses, okay, when somebody was doing 50 miles an hour in a bobtail that I had to go chase down. So
when you get down to the parking lot close to 78, close to the stream, what's the grade difference between that flat spot there where they have their Johns and all that stuff? And then the actual parcel that they currently own? I thought it was like a 30, 40 feet or something like that, no?
That I wouldn't be able to answer. I know, would you be able to make that answer? You're in that back of the...
Not exactly. I would welcome you to come out and take a look at it yourself.
Well, I was going
to
say, we're going to end up talking to them, so, you know.
They've already gone across that stream and changed the grade on the following hillside to accommodate their pole.
Because they're going to have to do what James talked about. I mean, I live right on that property line where they have a field, and I've seen that grade behind my house going down. It went down quite a bit.
I was told by the excavators 40 feet.
Yeah, it's kind of what I was thinking. Yeah.
Or more. I mean, it was getting to the point where I was worried that they were going to change the dynamics of the whole ridge tail there.
Mm-hmm.
With that they had earth
Oh, they had very large pieces of equipment.
They weren't taking out,
yeah.
A backhoe and a little
kind of
bulldozer and a
salt truck. No, these are like D7s, D8s. These were big machines.
Yeah, so pretty much taking out
a wheelbarrow. But to be honest, I haven't been back there since they had the Ag Board retained jurisdiction over their violations of the wetlands, and they had a consent letter with DEP that they had to follow, and I have not been back there since presumably they completed whatever those changes were. So, you know, at some point soon we'll go out and visit.
Let's go over and have a drink. We'll take a walk.
The better I take a walk with them, actually, to see what we can... but, you know, just let me come back to that gate for just a second. You know, the more I thought about it after the complaint on the truck in the truck park, and the more I thought, you know, we should have reached over to council, which is where we are now, and discussed how we could keep prevent parking. Whether that gate's inset 40 feet or, what, 50 feet. The trail is 53. The tractor's, what, another 25 or something?
Yeah.
So it's still going to be sticking out in your neighborhood. So why not just cut it off and not allow those kinds of vehicles into your neighborhood off hours when that gate's closed, or a telephone and a combo lock or something, but some way to alleviate the problem. The gate's just not a great solution, no matter how deep it goes, I think.
Right. Well, I mean, that's the point there was that there's a number of issues that have never been checked, regulated, or enforced. You know, I asked Tom last time I had him out, how many violations has he written there? And it was one. And it was never paid or resolved. It was dismissed. And, I said, with all my complaints and all the times, I mean, I explained to him there was a concrete retaining wall, and I sent him a picture of it. And when he went there, it mysteriously wasn't there. I said, what do you think? They saw Tom, the zoning official, come in, and they took a concrete retaining wall down? No, he just didn't see it. You know, and I wish everybody would come or call me back and say, oh, I didn't see it. Can you show me where it is or anything like that? You know, so there's garbage flying around the property, he stated to them. You know, and things to that. You know, I don't know who's regulating the amount of storm runoff and, you know, the concrete that they're pouring in the back, the slab, so they can keep their shelves clean or whatever they're trying to do so they don't fall over, and things like that. How fast did they develop? And the amount that they're doing back there, you need to go there on a regular basis and surprise visits. And do you have that ability? Of course you do. You know, if there's a complaint, well, I'll put a complaint in every week. And you guys can go back there and visit because there's a complainable offense every week. You know, and that's the thing. And I don't want to lose the direction that we were going in. I want to tell you that yes, that would be our access point. That would be what would be a resolvable point where everybody would be happy. We'd close that gate off, you know, put a berm or whatever it may be so we don't have to see it as you pull down the street and call it a day. And everybody would be happy.
Let's go back to that conversation with Guy DeSapio. Mm-hmm. Are you saying that they had agreed to apply during that conversation, did they feel intimate to you that they felt that was a reasonable solution?
Yes.
And that they would take steps in that direction?
Yes. It was concluded at the meeting, the conclusion was that was the only agreeable access point, and that we would make the efforts to find the owner. And somebody else was always paying his taxes, so we couldn't figure that out. It was shell companies. But when it went up for sale, we were able to identify and offer it to them. But their agreeable point was that they would at least go get the application and make that application to the DEP. So forward, we would, if that did become available and an option, that we could move forward and cross that bridge.
Would they feel agreeable if they used the 50-foot flag off of Blossom Hill to access it?
I don't know if they can make that turn now, and that was a question I asked the OAL judge, is that, you know, somebody needs to stop their improvements to the property, because they clearly put a telephone pole in a spot where those tractors and trailers, the full-size semi-trailers, wouldn't be able to make that right-hand turn anymore without moving that pole.
Yeah, pole's no big deal, but still.
Yeah.
But do you think, based on your conversations that day, that using the 50-foot flag that they own off of Blossom Hill would also be acceptable in terms of crossing the stream? They would make an effort if that was the only access.
That was the discussion, yeah,
okay.
Because
right.
It wasn't specific. That was the most agreeable point, was that 25-acre lot. But it wasn't going to be a specific point of access for the application. It was going to be, can we cross this stream?
Okay, that was the first step they take, and then they could decide, did it make sense to buy that lot or not?
Right,
okay.
Correct.
All right, I'm just trying to understand.
It wasn't available at that point.
Yeah.
But we had discussed, listen, I'll find the owner, we'll track it down, we'll see if it is, in fact, a viable sale, if they could lease portions of it, where they could barter parts of their property that would make it more better for the farm.
How long ago did you have that conversation?
Just over 2 years.
2 years. Because, to be honest, and again, it's, I get a lot of these, can we put a warehouse up over here, or, you know, some other industrial kind of a build out another lot. And Spiros gave me an email, I'm going to say it was 8 months, a year ago, some time frame like that, where he was talking about that lot. And of course, I didn't know anything about this discussion. Mm-hmm. His interest was in developing it, and it's not very developable. So this is helpful. We'll sit and talk with them, mm-hmm. and see if we can't judge what would motivate them to make that application across the stream. I think that's something that's, you know, not a difficult thing to do.
First, we have to get them to the point where they show a little bit of wanting to care about what's happening.
Yeah.
Okay, so we know what the end goal is, mm-hmm. right? No trucks going down the road.
Right.
But, you know, you have to work with us if there's little successes along the way. You know, one could be no parking. You know, mm-hmm. we're putting signs up. So I don't want you to think that we're doing a no parking signs because we're going to do that and say, all right, we're done. That's not the approach we're taking. There's going to be little successes along the way, I hope.
I will tell you that the resistance you will get from those little successes come back towards the neighborhood, too. As I said, what's that?
In a negative way?
Yes. Because they feel that we're harassing them, that we're targeting them, that,
so then they'll feel like you. The sides are equal now.
We're going to tell them it's not that SOB Penna, it's like 30 people from the neighborhood.
Yeah.
Okay. That's the summary point that I want to make, too, because, like, as you know, you're going to experience frustration, and you have. And then, you know, I'm starting to see now that we're having confrontations, mm-hmm. and we're having arguments, and we're having, you know, vulgar language in front of kids. And that's not going to help anybody, because you know what's going to happen. There's going to be cross complaints, and now you're taking the day off of work to go to court because some guy from Nova Scotia, who you're never going to see again, signed a complaint against you. Mm-hmm. That's not going to help your cause, and that's my appeal. And hopefully, you know, sir, maybe some of the officers are just going to show up, and they're not going to be privy to this. They're just going to say who did what to whom and who wants to sign complaints, and that's it. So my appeal is just try to keep your cool, because obviously this isn't going to be settled overnight. It's not. But I don't want to see good people get into trouble because of the frustration, or at least incur.
The difficulty is there, and I'll tell you why. It's the instigation. You know, they state that we're harassing them, and it's their point of harassment is the fact that we're here. You know, that's our harassment to them. At one point, they were saying that we were in the trees giving them the finger. I mean, we were climbing trees and sitting in the trees and giving them the finger, hiding. But the fact of the matter is, the people that they're employing, the people that they're trucking, that are driving their trucks. I had a guy stand on a saddle tank as the truck was moving, open the door, stand on the saddle tank as we're taking a picture and says, cheese. Mm. Moving. Okay, that's a full-size 80,000-pound tractor and trailer. Okay, you have that. You have, I'd show you a video, of one of their drivers stop in my road, park the truck, get out, and take pictures of my vehicles in my house. Okay? You have these different things. You have, them cursing at us. You have them beeping the horns, hitting the air horns, Jake breaking, doing all sorts of things just to aggravate and get us and poke the bear.
Yeah.
And we've been very good about it up until, it just got to a certain degree where, the hostile, it's just a hostile environment. And that's no place to live. I'll be honest with you. This isn't what Clinton Township is advertised as. This isn't what, I came here for. I'll tell you, the people that have been here for, Jeannie, she's one of the original owners. And she'll testify to the fact that just in the past, eight or 9 years, how the environment's changed completely. And it's because, we're appeasing to this conglomerate is the only way that I could say. They're touted as one of the largest growers in New Jersey. Three locations right now. You're talking approaching 750,000 mums, 100,000 poinsettias.
It's a shame that, in my opinion, the Right to Farm Act was a great idea. People complain about fertilizer in the spring, odors, tractor noise, diesel fumes. In my view, it was designed to protect against that as, suburban development grew and homes surrounded farms. But to extend it to a factory operation like this, do you know Garden State Farms, Den Hollander?
Mm-hmm.
Similar situation.
Mm-hmm.
They've lost at least one big court battle when they took all the topsoil away and had to put it back. But they're still there, and they're still annoying people. It's a very unfortunate application of a well-intended act.
I don't know if when your last visit was or anything like that, but they've posted it all over Facebook and other applications showing their operation. And the fact that it's robotic. It's not guys planting flowers. It's robotic arms on conveyor belts shipping pots of soil and the robotic arms are planting, and you're getting thousands upon thousands in a short period of time. A lot of those tractor trailers, the 300 tractor trailers in the month of March alone, were for tulips.
You got tulips. In the fall, you're going to have mums.
Right.
It's the nature of the operation.
Right.
So it's a plant factory.
Right.
That's what it is. It's
right.
A commercial
farm. And it's the location that they're at,
mm-hmm.
wholesaling, is a commercial trucking depot. That's what it is.
So we've identified the problem. We've identified your specific issues, two of them.
Mm-hmm.
One I think we can solve, the parking thing, at least take the temperature down a little bit. And we have a few more facts than we had when we started this conversation about, that one-time willingness to consider crossing that stream somehow.
Mm-hmm.
So why don't we do this?
There's a few other things I wanted to talk about, too.
All right, well, let me finish my soliloquy, and I'll hand it back to you. I just want to get something done because, mm-hmm. lots of trucks, big trucks, irritating, neighbor dispute, people being rude to each other.
It's the safety.
Obviously.
And Triska, you still haven't, put your two cents in about...
Well, let me finish before we go off on another little digression. We will sit down, Jesse and I and whomever else, and have a chat with the Hyonises about reviving the idea of looking at the stream crossing, relating some of the complaints, the number of people that are here upset with them, or rather upset with their operation. And we'll talk about ways they can help eliminate or minimize the number of errant trucks that show up at night. We had a conversation at the planning board. Send them off to the diner parking lot, for heaven's sakes. They wake up in the morning, get breakfast, and drive in.
Sure.
Diner would love that. So the trouble is how to reduce that to practice in terms of them getting that information to a trucking company, because the trucking companies are kind of random. But in any case, we will have that kind of conversation with them. But let me just do that parking thing. Let's just vet that so we come out of here with an assignment. Would people support? We don't want to create a parking regulation that makes the neighborhood crazier. Mm-hmm. So a simplistic idea is that at some point in the evening, after their operation stops, and we would ban parking of a certain type, whether it's a commercial vehicle or ban all non-resident parking, whatever we can do that's legal and comports with the statutes. If we ban all parking, you know, we would have to make an exception for residents, so we'd have to make medallions so that the police could identify the residents. Is that sort of a solution something that the neighbor, you know, folks in the audience would be interested in?
Well, you know, I always think of the other side as well. You know, if you tell them that you can't park from this hour to this hour, they may just park out in the road during the day. Okay? And no, don't make that face, because they do this. Okay?
In addition
to that, when I have Christmas or I have Thanksgiving or I have other holidays and we're parking based off of medallions, how are my family supposed to park? If I hold a party, how are those people supposed to park legally? Okay? And we go on and on these things. So you're saying that you can't
midnight,
you
1
can't
o'clock.
Have, you can't have a commercial, you can't make a statute that says a commercial vehicle.
We're not sure of that. Park. We have to investigate it.
Okay. There's plenty of, if you make a commercial vehicle, and there's plenty of specific statutes, so wouldn't it be that we're targeting, obviously an issue in an area, and you have to, be specific to that. Otherwise, again, you're going to be hurting the neighborhood.
All right.
You know?
So let's then, just like a show of hands, if we could restrict parking for commercial vehicles, 7, 8 o'clock at night.
24 hours.
Well, then you're the guys fixing your pipes, your plumber.
The lawnmower.
So you got to be careful with that.
Furniture truck from Hickory, North Carolina.
That was my next thing, and I'm not diverting from it because it actually parlays into it. The fact that the weight restrictions in the local ordinance that I had branched off to the 16 branch roadways off of Blossom Hill were on weight restriction. Now your specific annotation to the fact that it's bolded in your typeset on your letter that the exception is there for local for delivery and pickup.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, there is no state statute. I spoke with our commercial vehicle inspectors. It's a nauseam to the point where we can't find anything that is a state statute that says that there are state statutes that say any local authority can determine what the exceptions and everything are going to be. There's no reason why we can't make that enforcement.
I've been told by our legal team for the last, since 2012, that was the first idea that came to mind. Mm-hmm. Little weight restriction. It is not enforceable from what I'm told. We can find the NJAC quote.
We had the same situation here on Valley Crest Road with the trucks going to the Lebanon cheese factory. Mm-hmm. And all the residents were complaining because the trucks are going up and down the back roads. We couldn't do a thing about it because you can't. If they're making a local delivery, and what they were doing was filling up their tanks with the water to fill up people's swimming pools in the summertime. Mm-hmm. We tried.
Clinton Town was annoyed about that.
The spirit and authority of that statute, the way it's written, is to service the residents.
They are also residents.
They're not residents.
They live on that street.
They don't live there.
Their business does.
That's not a residence.
Let's just agree. I'm going to take our attorney's point of view with all due respect, not yours. That was the very first solution that we talked about. It's simple, Simon, easy, but it's not enforceable. And that's why that language is in our ordinance.
If I was able to get a determination from the AG's office through the state police,
if you can convince,
we would have to look at that.
Yeah.
If you can convince our attorneys, sure.
Mm-hmm.
Have at it.
Okay, and that would make a solution where you would ban all truck traffic on Muir, on Glen Eagles and all the 16 different branch roadways off of Blossom Hill.
I wouldn't have a blanket. The problem is in your neighborhood, so let's.
True.
It's the ordinance.
That is not true.
Well, let's put it this way. Let's first of all find out if it's doable.
Mm-hmm.
We've been told for years that it's not.
Okay.
If I could just weigh in, too, on the parking restriction, one thing that you're going to run into, and we had this at, well, Meldisco, mm-hmm. was then KB Toys, is the residents who lived along that street would complain because the truckers would come and they would idle and they would sleep because they're waiting for the factory to open up. And we were given orders to go out there and wake them up and tell them to move it because they're disturbing the peace of the people who live there. And what are they going to do? They're going to go somewhere else. And they're going to park somewhere else where there is no parking restriction. So I just want to be careful that we don't just jump from the pot to the frying pan. Of course, in that situation, they move to the other side of the building or they moved out into the front of the lot or whatever. But that's something to consider if we say no parking on Glen Eagles between these hours. Well, now the people at the Baptist camp or the people on Ramsey, or there's tractor trailers in my front yard.
Well, this is the first complaint I'm aware of in X number of years. So apparently it doesn't happen with a great frequency.
Right.
So it would at least deter the few that go down that road.
Agreed, and I'm just thinking out loud of, you know, what maybe the counter problem could be. That's all.
Mm-hmm. And as Mr. Pennis said, it was kind of the straw that broke the camel's back. It's not a high frequency occurrence from what I can divine.
I'd say it's every few months.
Okay.
Which is more than enough, right?
Yeah. So we'll take a look at it and see if we can do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I'm just unclear. So the township says you can't enforce any weight restrictions on a vehicle going down a residential road. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
No, we're saying that there's an exception under the law for local deliveries.
Yeah.
So there are weight restrictions, but there's exceptions.
Correct. If you're making a local delivery, then you can be on that street despite the weight restriction.
Yeah, if you're
so I can tell you, this is what I say. I mean, if you can find me something from the state that says, in fact, we can bar even local deliveries, it's not just Clinton that'll be happy. I can tell you about a whole lot of towns in New Jersey that would be delighted to hear that, because it's, you know, there are issues all over the place with trucks in residential neighborhoods.
Like I said, what I was told by the commercial vehicle inspection team is that the township itself can determine what the exceptions are. And there is no such thing as a state statute standard. So you can determine what your violations are. You can determine that, okay, local delivery and pickup means to service the residents, not a commercial operation. You can make anything that you want to do. The only restriction that we have is it has to be the most direct route. That's the only restriction. So there again, it supports our idea of going through that property that we were speaking about and making it the most direct route.
Well, if you can somehow provide us assurance, Trishka,
are you suggesting that there be no trucks whatsoever
to
the property going down Muirfield?
Well, 4 tons, 6 tons, something like that.
The Sprinter van, my pickup truck is just under 4 tons. I mean, it's, you know,
I mean, we've got weight restrictions on some roads, but
you're suggesting an outright ban on any trucks on.
Yeah, the restrictions are there. The ordinance are in place.
No, there's a 4-ton weight limit. There isn't an outright ban on truck traffic. I'm asking you what it is.
Not an outright ban. It would be to service the residents for fuel oil, for moving, for deliveries of gas.
Okay, so what you're saying is so no trucks allowed to go to the high owner's property?
Correct. Because
or just
it's a
no
commercial
trucks over 4 tons.
It's a commercial operation. Any truck is going to be over 4 tons. Any truck. So, you know, what we're asking for is to restrict the commercial operation. So anything that's distinct to commercial operation would be a weight restriction violation. A truck that would service the residents to move in and move out or to deliver fuel oil or pick up their garbage or you know, to serve, quote unquote, service the residents. That's the spirit of that law.
But
I have to leave, but I want to mention one thing.
All right, come on up.
Sorry.
Come on, quick.
You guys know me, Deb Nolan.
Yeah.
I'm the intersection person.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you. Ms. Blossom Hill. Mrs.
Yeah.
Blossom Hill.
So now we have Penowitz trucks coming from the left side and Hyonas trucks coming in from the right side. Mm-hmm. And I completely support this. I mean, you guys have to do something about the intersection quick, fast. And now the way this is growing, it's like they're making Penowitz look like nothing compared to this. So. And right on my street, Hather Drive, they made a road, I guess, there through there now, between two residents. So now there's a dirt road with telephone poles. I emailed you guys about that.
That's the 50-foot flag we keep talking
about.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to mention that you got to do something because they're building it. You got to fix the intersection, get rid of the trucks. I got to go.
Let's take care. I have to think, but again, you know, our lawyers will opine on this. I have to think that in front of the judge, the rights of the property owner on that street, whether it's residential or a farm, you talk about disparate enforcement, you know, would be seen as equal, but we'll take a look.
Happy to look into it.
Okay.
Question prior to doing, I know somebody else that they wanted to speak. You were referring earlier to.
Can I have your name?
Oh, Carrie. Carrie. Pass it down.
What's your address? I'll look you up.
I have it. I have
it. P-A-S-S-A-F-A-R-O.
Okay.
So, my question for you about that other lot coming up from 22 and Boston Hill on the right that we're talking about. Just refresh your memories and pretend to think of solutions and out of the box.
Sure.
Of possibly making a road parallel to 78 there. X says there's other. Could we in some? I know you're talking about the creek, so I don't quite know the layout there. So I'm going to throw that to you. Could we, with the state, whether it be Green Acres, whether it be us, whether it be Hyonas, if we want to be a compromised and cohesive area, be a park? Matt, you know, and just have a road there with lots of trees and lots of fencing, and but then cover it somehow. And then we can also use that for a local area for something that was positive, something that would be a compromise for everybody, just so the trucks have to enter that way somehow. I'm just trying to think of that other lot. That's all I want to throw out there in this discussion. There's got to be a solution. There are 22 children on that street, 19 of which are school-aged. I know it's being a dead horse and we'll stop, but I want to open that box and think outside of it. And instead of, oh, sorry, ask for hands are tied, just keep thinking of it.
Well, you know what I'll do? I'll look at the lot. Spiros seemed to have an interest in it, but the interest relates to being able to develop it into something. And if it's developable for houses, you could put a street down the middle, and that might get you, you know, to their. They own two lots. The lot that's the problematic one is the furthest to the east. They own an additional lot, which this 50-foot flag goes down to. That's the next lot west. And the lot that you just referred to is the third lot, which happens to go out to Blossom Hill. And if it's developable, who knows? Maybe he would be interested in buying it and putting up some housing or doing something.
I thought you said it wasn't able to be developed before.
I don't. I remember it. It's a little hazy, but I didn't think you could do much with it. You need 10 acres. In that part of the world, you need 10 acres for a septic system, and that's an $800 million house. Those aren't selling. So it's the market, there's not a market for that lot, I guess is what I'm trying to say, where you could put something in it that would pay you back for acquiring it. So that's a little bit, that's a tough one. But if they have a 50-foot flag anyway, why not use that? That comes down to the lot on the west, but then they have to agree to cross that stream and somehow be induced to, you know, pony up the dollars to cross, well, do the application, and then actually build a bridge for 80,000-pound trucks.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Across from Hadler?
Mm-hmm.
I've got this property across from Hadler.
Yeah.
So I don't think that I live on Ramsey. and I can tell, and I walk a lot, and I can tell you I've had to jump off the street a lot when these trucks come off the street, or if a car is coming the other way, we'll let you home. So I don't think that fixes the problems with the neighborhood. It might move.
Where is it?
Yeah. No, I understand. It just almost no matter. It moves it out of a very, you know, small lot neighborhood with pretty skinny streets into a wider street, but it's not 100% solution.
And the trucks, they come down Ramsey. They must make a long turn from the Scotia
guys. It's just what I'm saying.
I work my, I can see them outside Ramsey, mm-hmm. I left them to buy, I turn around and go back.
That operation is just... No. You know, you could see it when it was coming together. We just couldn't.
And my point in common was it's not just affecting Denver, it's pulling them out, it's affecting us down here.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
All right, I'm having some fun here. A lot of this we already covered. I created a bunch of questions for food for thought, and I wanted to go through some of those, but we talked about the resolution from 71. You guys have that handy? You know, is that?
No, I don't have it with me. But.
Okay. You know, I'm just going to give you a copy of all my math so that you have something to eventually refer to. But it was talked about in May and then again in June in 71 when that flagpole lot was first created. The decision was, well, the planning board realized that they were cutting off access. It's all one set of things. It's not multiple copies. So.
Oh, it's all one set.
It's all just, I only got one set, sorry. There's a May and then a June and then a resolution and some other letters. But basically this question of access to this lot, goes back to 71.
Agreed.
And they've never found one. But one of the things that came up in this whole process in front of the state ag board, in front of the judge, the OAL judge, is that Hyonis was arguing that there was no preemption, that you approved everything that was doing that they were doing, and there was no preemption, there was no right to farm act preemption whatsoever. And that, you know, it sounds like that's the opposite of what you were saying here. You wanted a traffic study, but, you know, preemption said, no, there won't be one.
The Ag Board said no.
Right.
That statement was incorrect. They went first to the Ag Board.
Right.
They got site-specific agricultural management plan approval from the Ag Board. One of the things that the Ag Board said was, go to the planning board for site plan approval as to certain very limited items like landscaping and on-site circulation. Other things were taken completely out of the town's purview.
Exactly. And so there was preemption by the limitations.
Yeah.
Okay.
You understand our ordinance prohibits commercial greenhouses and residential zones.
I know, and they're zoned RR4S. So, mm-hmm. Right. So it is prohibited there.
Correct.
But Right to Farm Act preemption may allow that. But what's going on, though, is that they said, no, there was no preemption. The Clinton Township Board approved it. It's allowed. And so this is where we're having so much trouble with them. And what I did at the end for Trishka was the citation, becoming an intervener, all you have to do is apply to the OAL and say, hey, we want to participate, and you can jump right in to our appeal right now. That would help a lot.
Well, that's not my decision to make. I don't control the purse strings, and I don't set the policy for the town.
Right, but we can send you what we've already done with the appeal if you want to look it over.
Yeah, I'd be curious.
But the fact that they're saying that there was no preemption, that's a problem. And the list of questions, I'm going to go through them really quick. So many of them we already came up, we already discussed. But the 71 resolution, why you're not enforcing that whole thing, we've already discussed why. You can't.
Yeah.
But as far as, our take on this is that stream, the regulations may have come after this resolution in 71 that said, you will use this for access in there. But that's a matter between them and the DEP or them and the feds. It's nothing to do with here. We shouldn't, give in necessarily. We should just say, oh, well, they can't because of the stream. Well, we'll let them go down your field. We should be.
We're not giving it. It's our understanding that that is what the law says. Is that correct? That is correct, Tricia. If they have another access, the DEP regulation says thou shalt not cross a stream.
But I mean, it's been some time since I've done one of those, yeah. But yes, you have to do a no feasible alternatives analysis.
And there is no feasible alternative if you look at it from the standpoint of that they're not allowed to be, the zoning already took care of this, eliminated the safety issue. There's, and the commercial traffic was already supposed to be going a different way in there. And in this resolution, they did talk about finding another way in. And I was wondering about eminent domain. Why can't, another way be found that goes in there? One of the things that we've been clobbered over the head with in front of the judge is Dunkin' Donuts, the Township of North Brunswick. I'm sure you probably have heard of that one before. And I put, just on one of those sheets of paper, the paragraph that I found most helpful was the planning board should consider off-site traffic flow and safety in reviewing proposals for ingress and egress to a site. Okay, so the planning board, that was taken away because the ingress and egress was part of it.
But it exists.
But the original, 71 resolution didn't come into the mix in there.
No. It could not because the task, there was a limited amount of stuff that the planning board was allowed to look at.
Exactly, so because of the preemption, basically, right.
Yes.
And the next thing is that pursuant to ordinance, it may condition site plan approval upon a contribution to necessary off-street improvements. Okay, or off-site street improvements. So basically you can say, you have to pony up to fix such and such a road or create such and such a road. So I don't
We're familiar with that, but remember, if a satisfactory compromise was not reached, the Ag Board would repossess the entire thing and we'd have no say. If you read the Ag Board resolution.
Right.
There are several deadlines involved.
Everything you're referring to applies when you're talking about a normal development application coming in for site plan approval before the planning board. That wasn't the case here.
Exactly. Right? Exactly.
Right. Now, are you represented by counsel in front of the OAL?
No. Unfortunately. And the other thing, with Dunkin' Donuts is that, of course, zoning is, where you decide whether or not things are safe. You can't, the planning board, once it's in front of a planning board, if it's already zoned that you're allowed to do something, but, you have to let them do it.
But again, it's not relevant. Our zoning does not allow this use.
I know.
And there it is.
And that's why you need to be an intervener, and you need to say that. Well, we can, just call you when necessary, if that would help.
Let us take a look at the documents that bring us up to date in terms of where this case is, and then we'll try to figure things out.
All right.
But if the argument's about preemption, it's silly.
I know, and that's the thing, is that they were just, trying to get, that's where they were trying to get summary judgment, was, they were trying to hit us because, there was no preemption, so therefore it's appropriate for summary judgment. And the judge said, no, wait a second, I think there was preemption. And so, it would help us a lot.
That question is answered if the judge just reads the resolutions out of the county ag board. That's not.
I realize that, but that's where they did the interlocutory review, and then when they, it's a huge mess because of this.
Okay.
It's not clear to them. So even a simple letter explaining that you were preempted would go a long way for us.
Well, you know, send us the, you know, the current story or history, and we'll see what makes the most sense in terms of trying to help out.
Okay, great.
All right. Thanks. Now, all right, come on. When I lived in Puerto Rico, there was a great expression. We've killed it to death, so we're. Maybe we can wind up some comments. We've got a couple of assignments, but come on up.
Yes,
you've been very patient.
Bill Bennett. So is there an ordinance against block parties in the...
Against what?
Block parties?
Block party. Neighborhood wants to have a block party.
Not that I'm aware.
Decide to have a block party on Glen Eagles Drive every Saturday or randomly during the week. Is there... Do we have to have a permit for that sort of thing?
I absolutely couldn't tell.
I think so.
That goes to what you mean by block.
Yeah.
What are you blocking, sir?
If you're blocking,
I think I know where you're going with that because I've read about some of the block parties, and you can't block the road.
So we can't have neighbors walking down the road. You can't have.
No, you can't have walk in the middle of the road if that's the question.
You have to leave the road open.
Yeah.
Okay. So is there a way to close the road for an event?
Right.
No.
Let's leave block party word out of it.
If there's an emergency, you've got to get fire vehicles through there and everything.
That's right.
You can't block the road.
Silly enough to.
Well, you never know. My husband's a fire chief. You never know.
Well, I suppose if you wanted it, there, you got to have a permit to close a road.
Yes.
And I would imagine part of the consideration would be if you're closing the middle part of a block and there's entrances at both ends, what's the big deal if the people that live there are okay with it?
Mm-hmm.
But if you're closing Muirfield and there's no way into Hyannis, I don't think you can probably get away with that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a good thought.
So I can enjoy the same freedoms
that they enjoy. Is that what we're saying?
Well, you know, there's disadvantages to living on cul-de-sacs. Don't throw anything at me.
Mm-hmm.
There was.
Yeah.
There was.
Well, fair enough.
That's why I closed the property. Fair
enough. Okay.
Please.
Go ahead.
Can we have your name, sir?
How you doing? Mark, my name is Mark Freeman. Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Council. I know you guys were not here back in the beginning. You were in different roles, all new roles. I'm glad to see there's a new council revisiting this issue. And I've heard some good words. I'm happy that I'm hearing from you guys tonight, that you seem to be willing to get involved, to listen at least to our problems, if not get involved. But
yeah.
I'm happy. Thank you for that. I'm happy for that. I'm here really just to clarify what's been said before me, particularly regarding to Dave Penna. Dave is our most vocal representative, clearly, right? There's files with his name on it. But I want everybody to understand that was a deliberate decision by the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't want 20 people calling the township every day or every week, 20 phone calls, 20 files, 20, you know, all the kind of stuff that gets associated with that. Now, part of me is concerned that that was a mistake, that the information Dave is getting back from the township is that he's a crank.
No.
And I want everybody to understand.
I don't think he's a
people
crank.
Back
no,
here.
I think you're mistaken.
No. Okay. And that's just the information we were hearing back through hearsay. You're right. I mean, it wasn't anything directly, but I do want the township to understand that it's Dave represents the neighborhood. We can, of course, make 20 phone calls, but it's a waste of every, you know.
Turns into chaos after a while.
With that kind of stuff. We're still citizens of town. We still want to be successful. We want the township to survive. We do want your engagement. We feel that Hyannis have not been a good neighbor. Frankly, I don't even think they've been a good corporate citizen. Forget about a neighbor to us and a neighbor to the township. And so back to what Steve said, engagement. We need your support, but more than anything else, we do need your engagement. And before, with the previous council, with Herman Voss and all those guys who said, no, it's ag board, we can't touch it, we're never going to win, leave it alone. And that's what happened, right? You guys stepped back, not you guys, the council stepped back and disengaged. But that's not getting us anywhere. We're not going away. So
yeah.
Our arguments are not going away. Our conversations amongst ourselves and with you guys are not going to go away. We're talking about block parties. So whatever the forms of entertainment get done in the neighborhood, it will escalate. And it's unfortunate because none of us want to live in a neighborhood with like that. We don't.
Yeah, you just want to have peace.
I'm 14 years there. I was there long before Hyannis. I remember what it was like before. I remember when it was a farm.
I'm 72.
Okay, so before I was born.
You're going to pay for that when you walk back there, I tell you.
I'm going straight out the door. So that's what I'm here to say again, that it is a neighborhood thing. Dave and Steve represent all of us, and please, we can't get anywhere. We spent a lot of time and a lot of money. Yeah. I would suggest we spent certainly more money than the township has supporting our arguments. We've certainly put so much more time in it. We've been to all the Ag Board meetings. There's phone calls. And Dave, you know, it's like a second full-time job for Dave. But he's doing it on their behalf.
Mm-hmm.
And so a little bit of engagement from you guys. I'm not asking you to donate a lawyer full-time to it, but, you know, bounce ideas off, make other suggestions, help. We've kind of, you know, we're running out of fresh ideas. And
we'll see what we can do. You know, sometimes we'll get a couple of people, you know, mayor and a councilman or a couple of councilmen, and have a little subcommittee, and, you know, you can meet two-on-two, kind of compare notes, plot next steps, that kind of stuff. So give us some history. We'll take a look at, you know, where the case is at this point in time, and, you know, maybe, you know, I'm sure Mr. Penn will send me his phone number and give him a call, and, you know, see if we can't sit down without taking a, you know, whole council and the whole neighborhood.
Right.
I think the characteristic that Mr. Penn would be looked at as a crank is very inaccurate. I think more as a concerned citizen, representing, looks like 30 people, but I got an idea there's more people in the neighborhood than are here.
It's a 31-house development. I mean, it's a tiny little thing that's being overrun with tractor trailers. It's been turned into a truck stop.
But the other, I think,
you just should just put a big pilot sign right up, you know, 50 feet in the air.
If you look at any member of this council, I don't think there's a single member that's going to raise their hand and say, "I like those trucks on my street."
Yeah.
Right.
I don't want them on my street. I don't want to see them on your street. But I think that we do have a responsibility to the township, the business, yourselves, to look at how do we legally do this to make everybody win. And ideally get those trucks off your street.
Let's be clear, though.
That idea of looking at a flag. Mm-hmm. Or whatever else. I can't think of a reason, sitting while you're talking, of why would Hyannis spend $2.5 million to buy that? You know, what's that motivation to get them going is really what
their business is.
Let me talk about that.
Yeah.
You know, we've spoken to some of the truck owners, and we've gotten an idea of the value of some of the contents of these trucks. We anticipate that this could be up to a $50 million a year business, right?
Oh, sure.
So $50 million return of investment would be traditionally 5 years you're going to look at it. The cost of building a third of a mile of a road, which is about what you're going to get from Blossom Hill up to the back of that, a third of a mile, would be at union rates about $520,000. And that's only we talked about the 4-inch sub base, the 2-inch base, and the 6-inch gravel base on top of that. I understand that there's all sorts of grading issues they have over there, but we're looking at $300 a linear foot. We're not talking about a tremendous amount of money. If you're looking at a $500 million to $750 million concern over 10 years. Really? A couple of million dollars? You're looking at a quarter of a 1%? So, again, and I'm not here to spend anybody's money, so I don't want to say that those numbers were put together for Hyannis and let them go out and meet those numbers. That's not what this is about at all. What it's about is stating the fact that this is a huge operation. And if they wanted to be good neighbors and good citizens, they've already proven that they're not good community citizens with not following up on all the requirements from the Ag Board and all the fights that they've had. So it's a little spend, right? It's not money I have. I don't have $3.5 million that I can lay out in the road from, which has always been their concern. Hey, you want us to move and go somewhere? You buy us the road. You want to have your neighborhood safe? Why don't you pay to have sidewalks put into your neighborhood? I mean, these have been requests from them. This was their answer to us in the beginning when we tried to engage them. So they've proven time and time again that they don't want to be good neighbors to us. I hope with your engagement that maybe that changes and that turns around. So,
I want to say two things. To me, it's more than a safety issue. If there were no kids living in that neighborhood, I would still be upset if I lived there. I don't want to see tractor trailers going through every day. And two, can you make sure I'm in the meeting with Thomas?
Sure.
You know, if you're looking for volunteers, I'll take the business side of the negotiation.
Right, he's got a lot of Irish in him as well.
Yeah.
He's a good negotiator.
Well, always.
Yeah, okay. On your mother's side, I hope.
Based on the last name, right?
Okay. Anybody else before we wrap it up? All right. You know, thank you for your participation and your demeanor. Sometimes these things can not be so nicely argued. So, you know, thank you for coming out, and we'll see what we can do. Get us the history. I'll reach out to Mr. Penna, and I ought to call him Dave at this point. And, you know, we'll see what we can do.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
You don't have to leave.
Running away.
It's leave. There are kids with them.
We still got a little bit of the meeting left. See you. Say hello to Parker.
All right, we're up to what I always call the most unpleasant part of the evening, and that's paying the bills. Any concerns or issues with their bill register? In that case, I'll make the motion.
I'll second it.
Roll call.
Councilman Kalchanowski.
Yes.
Council President McTiernan.
Yes.
Mayor Higgins.
And yes, from me too.
Yeah, I heard you.
Dave.
Oh, Mayor, did I
keep these services? I know they've cost you a lot of money to make.
Do you want to keep them?
No.
Well, I got the message, and I know where to find them if I need them again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't even second it.
I didn't. It would have to be one or two people, right?
I didn't catch
that's it. Okay. I'll listen to the tape.
And if there is no other business before the council, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
I'll second it.
All those in favor?
Second
public comment.
Thank you. I learned a lot.
Oh, you never know.
Learned a lot. Learned
these
a lot.
Guys thank make you. A comment just to...
You're not bothering us.
We have a second public comment period. Are there any members of the public caring to comment? Hearing and seeing none, I'll take a motion to adjourn.
I'll second it.
Oh, wait. Mayor did first?
Yeah. All those in favor?
Aye.
Thanks.
Opposed or abstaining? Thank you.
Wait, hold on.